Aaron Glenn is likely to join him as the new Jets head coach there. Lions offensive coordinator Ben Johnson already on the move. Man, the Commanders have really finished off a bunch of teams today. And this one has Commander implications because that Hail Mary win over the Bears set the wheels in motion for a coaching change. Now, after the win in Detroit, Lions OC Ben Johnson is heading to Chicago as the Bears' new head coach. Capitals out west.
And perhaps the least shocking news of the day, Pro Football Writers of America, of which I'm a member, and I believe our next guest is a member, has named Jaden Daniels the Offensive Rookie of the Year. Duh. Joining us now.
Who did that?
What's that?
Who?
PFWA.
Oh, okay.
Joining us now on the Rude Guest Hotline is our friend, Mr. Dave Zangaro, NBC Sports Philly, covers the Eagles. Davey Z, what up, dude? How are you?
What's up, guys? It's kind of crazy that we're here, huh? We talked in the offseason, and I didn't think we'd be having this conversation, but I'm looking forward to this game.
Dude, I did not think we'd be having – you come on with us regularly. I don't know. In the summer, I feel like we check in once a month, quarterly, something like that. And understandably, a lot of hype surrounding Philly. And then kind of down here, there's a lot of question marks. What's the tone up there now with Washington coming to town?
Yeah, I think this is like a confident city in some ways about this team. I think there's a little bit of angst about the Eagles' passing game because they haven't really needed to pass the ball very much in these playoffs and really a lot of this season because they've been such a good running team. So I think there's maybe a little bit of angst there. And the way Week 16 went, I think some fans are looking at it like, hey, if Jalen Hurts doesn't get injured in that game, he doesn't get the concussion, the Eagles probably win that one. But then there's the other side of it where I think there is some fear about Jaden Daniels and what he did in that fourth quarter in Week 16 and what he's been able to do this entire season. I mean, that kid is an absolute killer. And I think there's a lot of different viewpoints on this game. I think certainly the Eagles hosting an NFC Championship game, this building on Sunday is going to be pretty insane. I think that is an advantage for the home team, but it should be a fun game.
Jalen Hurts got twisted up a little bit in the last game. How is he doing?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's kind of the biggest question we all have this week because you guys have seen it, right? Like his ability in the run game, just the threat of him in the run game has meant an awful lot to this team. I know Saquon ran for 2,000, but Jalen just being there helped that all take place. So, look, I don't think he's going to be 100%. We saw that knee get twisted up. I think they're going to kind of hold their cards close to the vest. I don't think we're really going to know how healthy he is, how mobile he is, until he gets on the field Sunday. So a lot of this week for them is going to be trying to figure out where he is health-wise, how they need to game plan with his health in mind, because it's a big deal. You saw in the divisional round game, early in the game, he breaks off that 44-yarder on his own read. And once he does that, it really has to, you know, it keeps the defense honest. After that, and after the injury, he wasn't able to move as well. And there were some play calls that were really questionable from Kellen Moore that put him in situations where they were asking him to be the same mobile quarterback, and he just wasn't that at that point in the game. So all eyes are going to be on the quarterback this week at practice, seeing how he's moving. But really, I don't know if we're going to truly know until he's on the field Sunday.
It's going to be – that seems right to me because it seems pretty obvious he's hurt or beat up significantly. And I could see him he's going to be on the injury report every day, don't you think?
Yeah, that's the tricky thing because in recent weeks, obviously, a lot of rest designations for these players. I kind of doubt they'll even have a full practice on Wednesday. So we might not know until Thursday, really, when we see him out on the field and if he's limited or full. You have a kind of a short viewing window as media members once you get – into this part of the season. So it's, we're trying to glean whatever we can from it. If he is hurt and if it's going to affect him, they're certainly not going to say it publicly. So, I think that there's a chance it does play a role in this game because he was moving so well. I think that's one of the things we probably haven't talked about a lot. Like in a lot of these playoff runs, he's been banged up toward the end of the year. Now he had the concussion against Washington, but that's not like a leg injury or a knee injury like this, where this could really affect the way he plays the game when he's out there. So it'll be fascinating to see because they're clearly not the same offense when he can't move as well.
Talking with our friend Dave Zangaro, NBC Sports Philadelphia. You can give him a follow at DZangaroNBCS. Dude, in the last 10 years, you've covered a team that went to the Super Bowl and a team and a different team that won a Super Bowl. Does this Eagles team feel like one of those teams that has enough to get there and then maybe to win it all?
I mean, this team is closer to the 2022 team, where, you know, 2017 to me was just kind of a magical season. Everything fell the right way. They were without their starting quarterback and a bunch of key players, and they just, no one kind of believed in them going into that playoff run, and there was some magic in the air. This is more like 2022, where there's just a ton of talent. Like, you look at this Eagles roster, and it is loaded with talent on both sides of the football, especially offensively. To have Saquon Barkley, to have the best offensive line in football, to have A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith and Dallas Goedert, it's like an embarrassment of riches for this offense in terms of skill players and talent. And then on defense, you guys like Jalen Carter, Zach Bond, Quinyon Mitchell, who's another guy this week, the rookie we'll be kind of keeping an eye on. He had a shoulder injury in that last game. But from that standpoint, I think this team is way closer to the 2022 team, where you're looking at it and saying, okay, I mean, from a talent perspective, they should win. I mean, they should get to the Super Bowl. If we're just looking at, if you just stack the talent up and you go off of that, they're going to win this game, but that's not how football gets played.
Not at all.
It doesn't. But, Dave, I know a lot, like, when you look at the Commanders, young guys on this team, but they haven't played like they're young. Do you think, like, I saw someone in the Fangio talked about the talk about how Jaden, how he's a killer and this and the other. Anybody, like, I know the fans are not going to care. You know, that's just how it is. But the players, they're concerned about what this offense could do, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you've been watching these playoffs, I think you have to be concerned about what that offense can do. They're high-flying right now. Now, you know, you look at that Detroit game, and in the back of my mind with the Lions in this playoff run was, you know, are these injuries eventually going to catch up with them? And that's not to take anything away from Washington. They had a great game in that one, but certainly all those injuries in Detroit didn't help. I think it does help the Commanders that they've had to go into hostile environments on this playoff run. I think, honestly, Sunday is going to be a little different. I think it's going to be kind of a crazy atmosphere, but they've already gone on the road and won, so it's not like this is their first experience in kind of a crazy environment, and they've come through it fine, and they've been really good. This is a better defense, honestly. The Eagles have the best defense in the league. They have a coordinator who's done this for a long time. He just went against two really good coordinators in Matt LaFleur and Sean McVay, or offensive coaches, and those two guys. So I think that's a really fun matchup in this game, is Kingsbury versus Fangio. What does Fangio do to kind of protect them from Jaden Daniels? Especially, I think the plays with Jaden Daniels to kill a defense or the off-schedule stuff. Like, nothing's there, and he takes off and picks up a first down anyway. Those can be so demoralizing for a defense, and the Eagles have to just kind of make sure that they don't let that kill them. They don't let it kill their mood, and they're able to kind of forget the play and move on to the next one. Because I think entering a game like this, you have to kind of just understand that, yeah, that's a good team, that's a good offense. They're going to get theirs. You just have to limit them when it really matters.
Talking with Dave Zangaro here from NBC Sports Philadelphia. Give him a follow at DZangaro NBCS, and make sure you check it. What is Eagle Eye Podcast, correct?
Correct, yeah.
I think you're onto something. The Kingsbury-Fangio matchup, I just think this Eagles roster is so loaded, and defensively they are so loaded. What, you've watched a really good D-line play up there. What level is Jalen Carter starting to play at?
He's unbelievable. He really is. And the crazy thing, he kind of won them that game at the end. He saved the season in the fourth quarter. He only left the field twice. That was his 68th and 69th snap of that game. And there were so many questions when he was coming out of Georgia, like, does he have the fitness level to be a great player in the NFL? He's answered those questions. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's just been playing at an incredible level. And that's obviously without Cosme in this game. I think that's a matchup to watch. He's going to get doubled, but I've really seen a lot of growth from him this season, learning how to beat the double teams and use them to his advantage at times. He has a bunch of batted passes. That's been something I've been impressed by, like his understanding that, yeah, sometimes you're not going to be able to get to the quarterback when you have that much attention. You can still affect the play. He's been able to do that. His next level knowledge of how to rush this year has really improved. On his third down sack against Matt Stafford, he kind of faked a stunt inside and then got wide again and kind of had a free rush because of it. He's phenomenal. We had Fletcher Cox in this city for a long time, and I think what made Fletcher so special was that he was able to play at a high level for as many years as he did. But if we're talking peaks, I mean, Jalen Carter is there right now in year two of his career, and I think he's still getting better, which is pretty scary.
The weather's supposed to be like 40 degrees. How's the wind supposed to be? Because we know the wind can whip around that stadium.
Yeah, it is amazing how they kind of created a wind tunnel at the link. We don't really know that yet. It'll be better conditions than it was on Sunday, I'll tell you that, and the dump snow in the second half. Kind of a weird thing. You know, the Eagles really used the weather to their advantage last week. They got the practice in the cold, and then the Rams came out here, and I don't know if they're really ready for all of that. This week's kind of weird because it's so cold during the week. It's like 15 degrees here right now, and it's going to warm up by Sunday. So I don't think weather is going to play as big a role in this game.
Saquon has been phenomenal all year, but the passing attack for the Eagles seems close to broken, at least not explosive. Obviously, there's the Jalen question marks, but what else is going on there that, you know, they're 29th in the NFL in pass yards. They're 32nd in passing attempts.
Welcome to the big conversation. It's kind of been an exhausting conversation all year because they're winning. They're a great offense. They haven't needed to simply drop back and pass very much. So it's been a lot of debate about, well, what does it really matter if they're winning? But I think the fear is that they're going to get into a situation in the playoffs against a really good team, maybe this week against an offense that's as explosive as the Commanders are, and they're going to have to drop back and throw the ball and be more effective doing it. At times we have seen it. You know, there was the low point of the season for the passing offense came against the Panthers in December, and then the very next game they come out against the Steelers, and Jalen had a really good game. Threw for 290 yards, a couple touchdowns. There were questions about, like, are him and A.J. Brown getting along? He throws a touchdown to A.J. They do a little dance together. Everything's smoothed over, and everything's going to be great from here on out. But the next game was the Commanders game, and he gets knocked out early. Then we didn't see him again until the playoffs, and since then, the passing offense has not looked great. It's been a little confounding this year because they have all the pieces in place to be good. There's no reason why they can't be, right? You have a good offensive line. You have really good receivers. You have a good tight end. And you have a quarterback who has done it. We've seen him do it at times in his career. I think at times the scheme hasn't been what it needs to be. I don't think Kellen Moore, even though he had three head coaching interviews last week, so teams must like some of what he's doing. I don't know if that has necessarily worked out the way they hoped it would, kind of blending the offenses and getting the most out of Hurts. So I think it is a concern, but they're explosive in the run game. And I think that's something that's kind of unique to see a team that can hit all these big plays running the football. You load the box on them. You're worried about them breaking off a big run. That's what happened against the Rams. So I think it's kind of a different makeup of this team. And they're weirdly explosive without the passing game.
Yeah, and it's like, hey, if we can just do all this other stuff, let's not stress too much about that. I wonder if this is the week that their hand kind of gets forced. Are they pretty healthy on the O-line?
Yeah, I mean, as healthy as you can be this late in the season, nothing that's keeping these guys out. And that line has been really good. You have bookend tackles in Jordan Mailata and Lane Johnson, guards in Landon Dickerson and Mekhi Becton, who are the biggest duo in the league. And then Cam Jurgens has played at a really high level, replacing Jason Kelsey as a center, got named to the Pro Bowl this year. They're good up front. They're healthy up front. And that matters, certainly, in as you get deeper into the playoffs.
Talking with Dave Zangaro, NBC Sports Philadelphia, here on the Rude Guest Hotline. Davey Z covers the Eagles, has for a long time. How's my man Nick Sirianni? How are the emotions? How are the vibes?
Dom keeping him cool.
Yeah, as cool as he can keep him. I think the vibes are good right now. It's been kind of a weird year. Nick always says that they're a boring team. And then whenever he says that, I go, no, they are not. They're definitely not a boring team. But I think Nick Sirianni has done a good job this year. A big part of his role as the CEO coach, he's not calling plays on offense or defense. He's supposed to kind of be the overseer of it. The vibes have been good this year, undoubtedly. And I think that's like, you look at the two Super Bowl years that I've covered them, similarities, right? Like, the team just has something about it. Everyone's getting along. They're having fun. They're celebrating. Like, all these little things they're doing. So I think that as the CEO type coach, he's responsible for a lot of that. And I understand the antics bother people, especially outside of the city, and I get that. But in that locker room, I still like the guy. There was a scene after this last game where he's about to give his post-game speech, and C.J. Gardner-Johnson takes off his giant dream chaser chain and, like, puts it on him, and they all have fun. Like, that team likes him. And I kind of, in a way, like, that's the only thing that really matters right now.
I agree with that. I do. Specifically, Washington lost Sam Cosmi, their right guard. Is that the kind of thing Fangio and Jalen Carter will specifically try to exploit? Or are they more, we're going to run our stuff and not necessarily care what's in front of us?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it might, they might care a little bit, but I honestly think it might end up helping Milton Williams, who's a guy we don't really talk about a ton, even in this city. He's their other starting kind of like three tech type player. He's been great this year because he gets one-on-ones all the time. Jalen Carter demands and commands those double teams. So you're going to help with a backup guard on Jalen Carter, and that's going to leave one-on-ones for Milton Williams. And, you know, this year when he's gotten those situations, he's been able to beat them. So I think a lot of it is kind of natural. I don't think you need to do a ton to prepare to see a backup guard. I think you kind of run what you run, but from my perspective, I think it is a big advantage for the Eagles inside, especially because, like, they don't have a Hassan Reddick going out there and getting 15 sacks this year. They don't have that elite edge rusher. They have good guys. They have Nolan Smith, who's really improved, Josh Sweat, who's playing at a relatively high level, but they kind of have to group rush this year. They have to kind of piece it together. They've been good at running games, stunts up front. They're going to have to keep doing that without one of the better guards that they face this year, though. I think that is going to be a little easier.
Yeah, I can't wait for Sunday. I know I'll see you before that, and I'm going to talk to you this afternoon. Do you have a gut feel for this one about who's going to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, honestly, I think I am going to pick the Eagles to win this game. I think they have more talent, and like I said, that's not the only determining factor in this, but I think they have a better roster. And I have a lot of faith in that defense. I think they're a little embarrassed about the way Week 16 ended against the Commanders, and they've earned my respect this year, my trust in them with what Vic Fangio has done. But I think it could go either way. I'm picking the Eagles in this one, but they certainly can't take the Commanders lightly. It's going to be a fun game on Sunday. I'm excited for it. And probably a chippy game. If you guys remember, the last time these two teams faced, there was a lot of extracurricular going on.
Yeah, I would expect the same, honestly. And that's a measured, reasonable take, dude. Like, Philly's pretty damn good. There's a reason they're the two seed. There's a reason they won the NFC East. Dave, thank you for your time,
appreciate
bro.
You, Dave.
Appreciate you.
All right, fellas. Take care.
Okay.
Bye,
it's our buddy Dave Zangaro. Give him a follow at DZangaro NBCS. When we come back, we haven't really talked about any of the other games, the AFC title game, how Philly even beat LA. I want to run through kind of around the NFL. There's a ton going on with the coaching carousel and everything else. B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Going around the NFL right now, there's a lot of jobs open. The Bears hired Ben Johnson. The Jets, Saints, Jags, Raiders, Cowboys, all still open. There's general manager jobs open, the Jets and the Raiders. You know what general manager job is not open?
Ooh.
Dallas.
Yeah, you know, because Jerry owns that. Or he say Steven does, but Jerry runs it.
You feel like Aaron Glenn's getting this Jet? Do you feel like the Aaron Glenn, Lance Newmark thing is happening with the Jets?
Very good possibility.
The fact that Glenn was an all-pro there, I think.
All-pro, he's been doing. I mean, for what they did with all those people missing on defense, was special.
Yeah, I think much like, frankly, Dan Quinn got hired here after, I mean, his last game in Dallas, probably the worst one he ever had.
Yeah.
When the Packers hung 50 on them, and the Dallas defense was completely manhandled by the Packers in that game. And I think it would have been a mistake.
The offense didn't help very much. They gave up some turnovers.
Right, but it would have been a mistake to judge Quinn on that game rather than the entirety. And I think it'd be a mistake to judge Glenn on giving up 45 to Washington the other night and not the entirety of his tenure. I feel like this Glenn Newmark thing is going to happen. What do you think the best job left is? Because a lot of the conversation was that the Bears was the best job. I'm not sure I agree with it, but now it's not.
Dallas, Raiders. You got Dallas and the Raiders left. You got Jacksonville left. Who else?
Saints.
Las Vegas.
You don't have a quarterback.
Yeah, but if you got some money to spend, then you got a chance.
They have the sixth pick.
Sixth pick. You can move that up a little bit. But I think if I would rather a team where I could roll in and get the people I want than a place where they're going to tell me who I got to take.
Yeah. And I think the Raiders, if you get it right and you have – seems like Brady's going to kind of really be in charge of that. If you get Brady on your side and you know you can trust him and you can kind of move forward that way, you might have something you can build the right way going forward.
Possibility, but, you know, Justice Thomas is a great player. I don't mean he's going to be a great front office guy.
Totally.
But somebody that worked as hard as he did, I would have a lot of patience with people not putting the same effort in.
Totally.
And I don't know many people in the world that was working as hard as he does.
No.
That could end up being something that they're going to have him back away from a little bit.
Yo, I agree. One thing we haven't really had an opportunity to do, so the only thing it feels like we've gotten real progress on is the Jets job. Seems like the Saints wanted to move forward with a couple different things in this crazy weather. I mean, this dumping snow in New Orleans, which feels like a sign of the apocalypse. But
hey, man, if you got all that money the Saints got, they can find a way to get the person in.
They're saying you can't get flights in, but
private.
I can't imagine they're making people fly commercial for head coaching.
That's what I'm saying.
Right. But hell, if it's snowing bad enough, even the private jets don't want to take off.
Yeah.
Maybe you have to push it back a day or whatever. I don't think.
That's what they're saying.
Didn't Dan Quinn fly commercial?
He did. Nicky got his photo at DCA, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, Dan Quinn, just a little example here of how.
Dan's a little different.
Well, dude, Dan Quinn flew commercial.
Huh?
And Ben Johnson told owners on a jet he was good.
Huh?
Different levels of
Dan is a
self awareness, I would say.
I think Dan he's just real.
Yeah.
I talked to his wife most games.
She cool was there the other day.
Cool as a cucumber.
Yeah. Totally agree, man. I think I wanted to run through the games this weekend. We've spent so much time on Commanders Lions that we haven't really talked about how the rest of these games came to pass. I never really thought the Chiefs were losing to the Texans. They didn't. I know there's some bad refereeing. People are upset. I didn't watch a ton of that game, I'll be honest, because I was at Ford Field getting ready for the night game.
You're talking about the 49ers game?
No, the Chiefs-Texans.
Yeah. The thing about it, people want to just say the referees did what? They were penalties that they threw the flags on. Pat went to slide. Both of the guys went to hit him. They hit each other and they fell on him. Hey, that's a penalty. By the letter of the law, you cannot hit the guy. Can't touch him if he's sliding.
8-4. Texans, 8 penalties for 82 yards. Chiefs, 4 penalties for 29 yards.
Man, look.
They seem to get some home cooking there, but.
Everybody gets home cooking.
Great teams do.
Except us, for some reason. Everybody normally gets home cooking. But if the penalties. Listen, in Detroit, we grabbed the guy by the shoulder pad and they called the face mask. We won the damn game, though.
On the road.
So let's. Pat is the best quarterback in the league overall right now.
Body
if you're close with him, they're going to throw it.
Overall body of work.
Yeah. But I'm saying, no one thinks that, do they not know that already?
Of the four quarterbacks playing this weekend?
Jaden's playing the best.
Right.
But still, if you go with the whole body of work, Pat got how many Super Bowls? How many MVPs?
3 Super Bowls. I don't know the MVP.
You know, so my thing is, you can't get close to him. You can't. And then if they were like blatantly throwing flags, I would have been like, oh, yeah. They weren't. The last thing you want to do is put the game in the referee's hands.
Sure. We haven't, speaking of MVPs, we haven't really had a chance to talk about the Ravens-Bills game. Baltimore, man, gave that thing away. I think they moved the ball a lot better. I think Buffalo played smarter. The Ravens had 416 total yards in that thing. Buffalo had 273. I mean, they outgamed them by 150 yards.
Yeah.
They turned the ball over three times. Lamar had two bad turnovers in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Andrews had a bad turnover, a bad drop in the second half. I still think it's being misremembered that even if he catches that ball, all that means is a tie game and Josh Allen has 90 seconds to go get a field goal to win it. Regardless.
Still.
This level.
Of his caliber, he can't drop that ball there.
I agree with that, but whoever's fault, like, I'm not here to play the blame game, right? But the Ravens' playoff woes continue. Do you just keep banging on that door until you break through, or at some point does something change?
Hey, you gotta keep, they're in the playoffs, and they're there. They what are you going to go change up and end up better? The coach? Quarterback? Doubt it.
I don't think so. I'm asking. I don't know that there is a thing that you change, and you just got to be consistent and assume it's going to break through. But it's pretty wild, man. I mean, Harbaugh, this past year, they lose in the divisional round. Last year they lost. They were the one seed, lost at home in the AFC title game.
Mm-hmm.
Go back 2 years ago, they lost in the wild card. Then there was the year Lamar was hurt. Then they lost in the division round, lost in the division round, lost in the wild card. A lot of those division losses were when they were the one seed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Harbaugh obviously has a Super Bowl ring. John Harbaugh, I'm talking about.
Yep.
His playoff coaching records, even with that, he's now two games over 500 in the playoffs. And that's with a Super Bowl ring where he went 4-0. And I'm not advocating or suggesting anything. Does Baltimore come back next year? Same everything?
Not same everything. They got to improve. Their D-line did not play consistent the whole year. And their O-line wasn't there. Derrick Henry did a lot for him, but you can always improve what you got up front.
Landfill, what do you make of Baltimore? Are they ever breaking through?
I think they – well, that's tough. The AFC's just got a lot of good players. I mean, a lot of good teams with a lot of good quarterbacks. They're going to have to beat the Chiefs and Mahomes or the Bengals and Burrow or the Bills and Allen anytime they want to get out, and that's just tough. You're probably going to have to beat two of those teams. But what's remarkable to me is how the AFC North keeps having these teams. For a long time, it was the Bengals. Now it's kind of the Steelers. And then it's the Ravens, where they have pretty solid regular seasons. And then they just kind of, you know, disappoint in the playoffs every year, year after year.
Yeah. It is remarkable what Lamar has accomplished. You know how old he is?
28.
He just turned 28, and he's a two-time MVP, probably about to be a three-time MVP. Voting was closed. I actually looked this up. Voting was closed before the Ravens played the Bills, so it's not like that game could have been some, you know, determination of who gets the MVP award. I don't know what – I think the right move for the Baltimore organization is to keep it going. You've got – immensely talented players and a good coach. The right move is to keep it going and think that eventually you break through. Zay Flowers got hurt for them in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Was that a big factor? I don't know. Baltimore has very secure ownership and steady leadership. I would expect them to be pissed and, you know, bummed out and whatever other terms, but I think you keep that going. But Bills Chiefs going to be a hell of an AFC title game.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait. I mean, as we continue to go, like, the NFL playoffs are just the absolute best. They're just a monster. Great tune, great recurring bit. Listen, man, we basically spent 4 hours talking about Commanders-Eagles. We're going to do it every day this week, so buckle up. We're back in Ashburn tomorrow. We'll hear from Dan Quinn.
If we don't, we're stupid. Daniels.
What's that?
If we don't talk about them, we're stupid.
Yeah. Yo, we basically just talk about the football, like the Redskins, the football team, the Commanders, whatever you want to call them. We basically just talk about them 4 hours a day, year round. Imagine if we decided to change it this week. Like, Leadville, we got to do a lot of whiz this week.
Might get cursed out.
Leadville, we got to do our DC United season preview this week. Now, I would make time for Doc Walker's mock draft. If Doc's available, Leadville, you let him know.
That won't ever
We got
happen.
A slot for the mock. But seriously, Sunday is going to be incredible. We have coverage all day on 106.7 The Fan. The coverage starts at 9 a.m. for a 3 o'clock kickoff, and you can listen to the Westwood One game coverage right here on The Fan. If you need new gear, you want a Jaden Daniels t-shirt or a hoodie or something, check out 106.7thefanshop.com. I can't wait to be back in Ashburn tomorrow. Just kind of get the buzz, get the vibe as the boys get ready for Sunday. These boys are getting ready to make some bets tonight. Let's go. White Brian, we invented a new game where you have to stand on two golf balls and then hit a putt with the putter on another golf ball. It's very hard to balance. I missed. B. Mitch missed. White Brian made his. And we're all confident that if Jeff ever comes back to work, he'll fall and break his neck because it's pretty damn hard to balance yourself.
Yeah, I got lucky with the bank coming back. But
you definitely did.
A win's a win.
Yeah, that won't happen on a real golf course.
Yeah, maybe not. But in terms of bets, everyone lost except B. Mitch. He went 2-0.
Damn, B. B's on fire. All right. Well, only
what
one
was
thing
the point spread that night?
8.5.
I lost then.
Oh, then you lost.
What are you talking about, Brian?
I forgot about the field goal at the end. Forgot about the field goal at the end.
White Brian's worse than Jeff.
It was 9
that
anyway.
That means I won.
It would have been 9. They both
no,
won.
No, I had Ohio State.
No, Leffy had Ohio State too.
Yeah, so you both won.
Ohio State won by 11.
Oh, right. They covered at the end.
Yeah,
I forgot about the field goal.
I was dealing with no heat in my home. All right, so
what
me and Landfill are undefeated.
Sorry. Yep.
See how honest I am?
Appreciate you.
God.
Honest, Brian.
Make some picks.
I'm taking the Lakers minus 13.5.
Against my Wiz, dog?
Hell yeah.
I'm with Landfill.
The Wizards suck, dude. I don't know if you noticed.
Don't you want them to suck?
Yeah.
That's why we're trying to win his bets. Why are they doing it?
All right, do my Terps play tonight?
Huh? Your Terps?
Yeah, my Turtles.
What y'all playing?
I don't think we play.
You don't play.
Okay.
I was going to tell you, whoever you're playing.
Ooh, we got kind of a funky line in Austin. I'm going to take the University of Texas Longhorns minus 2.5 tonight hosting Mizzou. The Fighting Chuck Hanleys. I like that line. Seems a little interesting of a spot, White Brian.
Yeah, I'm taking Mizzou plus 2.5.
Oh, Lord.
What kind of hater-ish is that?
He's trying to get you, dog.
Sorry.
Trying. I got burnt orange, Matthew McConaughey, and Kevin Durant on my side. Thank you to everybody that listened to the program. Thank you to Barstool Nate. Thank you to Santana Moss. Thank you to Dave
Zangaro. Thank you, brother.
Thank you to everybody that called in today. Fun show. Seriously, all our thoughts and prayers are with the Medhurst family.
Definitely.
Pete's a great dude and will be missed. He loved his children, loved his family, and we're thinking of you all.
Amen.
Granddaddy next.